A joke going around the internet actually isn't that funny. It goes like this. If anyone is Christmas shopping for me, I take a size large in student loans. Hi, I'm Rob West. A perfect storm may be coming that could make this Christmas shopping season not funny at all for folks with student loan debt. Neely Simon joins us today with the details. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Neely Simon is a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program. Neely has been following events that affect consumer debt, and she's here today with another report. Neely, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me on the show, Rob.
Now, we set this up by saying there's a perfect storm brewing for debt, Neely. So why is that the case?
So there's a few reasons that I'd like to touch base on. One is that student loan payments resumed in October after being on forbearance for 3 years. The federal student loan debt is estimated to be $1.7 trillion, which affects 40 million Americans. So as a result, a monthly $7 to $8 billion will have to go towards student loan debt. And then the average monthly payment now is about $503 due to inflation.
Wow.
As we all know, inflation's not going away. Although it is slowing from last year's 8.5%, the consumer index states that it is still running at a 3.4% annually, where food inflation is at 3.7% and gas prices are up over 3% annually, but spiked over 10% in August alone.
Yeah.
Despite all these reasons, consumer spending remains high at 4.9% above last year.
Well, if that's the case, Neely, how is it that spending actually increased in the last year?
The hard reality is that people are still living outside their means, spending more than they make and relying on credit cards to make ends meet or to keep up with their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Bankrate stats show that 46% of credit card holders are carrying a balance, which is up 39% from last year. The average credit card interest rate is now 20.24. And for people seeking credit counseling, we see the interest rates to be closer to 22 up to 26%. And then lastly, the average balance per account is around $5,500 and climbing.
Wow. Well, then the last part of the perfect storm is that we're coming into the Christmas shopping season when folks really feel pressure to spend money that perhaps they don't have. So what advice do you have for them, Neely?
I would say don't fall victim to retailers offering you a discount or promotional rate by opening up a new account. And then prepare your Christmas budget. Know how much you can afford and don't go over it. One way to do this is the good old envelope system where you use all cash. This will ensure you don't go over. Then you can make a list of all your presents with spending limits. Another option is you can give cards or make inexpensive gifts. And then allow for some budget in regards to decorating, food, holiday baking, and other things. But don't be excessive. Remember, he is the reason for the season, not all the stuff.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, sometimes things just get away from people, though, Neely. So if someone is struggling with credit card debt, how can Christian credit counselors help?
So we offer a debt management program, which lowers your payments and interest rates, getting you out of debt about 80% faster. Our program helps you do it the right way by paying off your debt in full with interest ranging between 1 and 12% APR. We also offer a free consultation that provides you with a comparison estimate, which will outline all the benefits and the fees. Keep in mind, there's no commitment. We really just want to educate you on your options. Proverbs 3:27 states, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it." Christian Credit Counselors is here to help you get on the road to financial freedom. And we look forward to speaking with you.
Absolutely. And you've been great partners for a long, long time, Neely. We're so thankful that you stopped by today with some great information. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
All right. Folks, if you have credit card debt, my preferred way for you to get out of debt is debt management, and that means Christian Credit Counselors. So check it out today, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Get those interest rates down and pay that debt off up to 80% faster. That was Neely Simon with Christian Credit Counselors. Your calls are next on Anything Financial, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The hardest part about parenting is having to deal with the strife that comes when we or our kids do something harmful. As human beings stained by sin, we're going to hurt each other. And when we do, repairing the relationship can be difficult. It makes it so uneasy. But when we find reconciliation, we find peace with them and peace with one another. The same is true with the Lord. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:1, "We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that peace, we are free to live our lives to His glory." Reconciliation soothes one's soul. Christ brings us peace. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Angels seem to be, in some special way, particularly geared to give instructions. And you know what? That's at the very core of who they are as individuals. Because what does the word angel mean? At its very basic core meaning is the word messenger.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Angels, Who They Are and How They Help, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Whether you want to talk about your lifestyle, that is your living expenses, maybe it's your giving plan here. And as we head toward the end of the year, we want to be able to give wisely. I'd love to help with that. Maybe it's debt repayment, where we started today with Neely Simon, or your long-term savings and investments. Whatever you're thinking about today, let us hear from you, and we'll talk about it in light of biblical wisdom. 800-525-7000. Lines are open. And you can call right now. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Pennsylvania with Wesley. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I am a independent, self-published author. I'm a retired teacher, and after retired, I've published 4 novels. And in this year, I've spent over $10,000 publishing, marketing, And so my question is, how do I go about claiming these expenses when I file my 2023 tax return? My wife thinks I need to get an LLC, but I didn't know if there was another way, so I thought I'd call the experts.
Very good. Well, you're right. Your tax-deductible business expenses would include anything you spend on marketing, the books, the artists, publishing packages, other expenses. So if you're a sole proprietor, basically, you know, what you would do is you'd list your income and your expenses on Schedule C of your 1040. And then you'd be able to deduct those. Now, the IRS safe harbor rule is typically that if you've turned a profit and three out of the last 5 years, then the IRS will presume that you're engaged in it for a profit, not as a hobby. And so you're going to have to just factor that in at some point here. But basically, you have the ability to deduct those expenses again and against any income you're earning. And you're right. It may make sense just for protection, you know, to separate the business from you personally and for a few other reasons to form that LLC. It's not critical, but it's probably time if you're thinking about, you know, this continuing to be a part of what you're working on for you to get things in order, both legally and from a tax standpoint. So I think, you know, getting every deduction available to you now is important. Do you have a CPA that you've worked with in the past or an accountant?
No, Rob, not at this time. Like I taught, I never really had a lot of money. And then since I retired, I don't have a lot of money, so I never had a CPA.
Okay. Yeah, this is the time to do it, just to make sure you get the book set up properly. I'd love for you to, you know, have a good delineation between what's personal and what's business so that you can truly deduct every expense related to the business and it doesn't get mixed. So you'd have a challenge defending that to the IRS. And so having that separate set of books and clearly, you know, having business expenses and personal expenses, for instance, I'd perhaps use a different checking account and you could, you know, use a business credit card and just keep everything separate. And that way it's a little easier to document. But I think this is probably the time, Wesley, for you to go ahead and get that CPA, not only get those books set up to make sure you're filing the taxes properly and taking advantage of every deduction, including, let's say, a portion of your home that you're using, you know, specifically for the business. You know, maybe you have a place where you do your writing, that kind of thing. You want to be able to take full advantage of any deductions there. And then at that time, you can also talk about whether it makes sense to put a legal structure in place for a corporation, an LLC or a subchapter S, one of those.
Thank you, Rob. That opens up more doors for me to look into, so I greatly appreciate what you guys are doing there at Faith and Finance.
Absolutely, Wesley. Listen, if you need a suggestion for a CPA, if you don't have one, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Pennsylvania. Just go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA. And any one of those certified Kingdom advisors in your area could refer you to a godly CPA who could help you get all of this set up. But listen, all the best to you, and we appreciate you calling today. Check in with us anytime if you have other questions. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Nona. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. My question today is, what would you recommend for a retirement mutual fund account that is easy to manage and manipulate on a website? I have Merrill Edge, and it is not very computer friendly for me. I'm kind of running into roadblocks, and I need something that I can draw from every month, but I need something that also makes money.
Yeah, very good. And are you selecting your own investments, Nona?
Yes, so far I have. I checked with a financial advisor, and he wanted $8,000 a year. And, when the market goes down, you know, you lose money. I don't want to be paying $8,000 a year to lose money.
Yeah. No, I certainly understand. Well, if you're comfortable managing it yourself, you absolutely can do that. And I can understand what you're saying in terms of a user-friendly portal. You know, I would look at one of the discount brokerages, so either Schwab or Fidelity, I would feel good about. I know both of the interfaces I've seen in the past and I think are fairly user-friendly. The nice thing you would be that you'd have access to just about any, you know, fund you'd like to use, as well as very competitive money market rates. So I think either of those options are really more geared toward the type of investing that you're doing, and I think you'll find the user interface pretty easy to navigate. Again, it's either Fidelity or Schwab. You could look at both, but I think either of those would give you the options you're looking for.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Nona. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your financial questions so we can tackle those, help you live as a faithful steward of God's resources and be, live in obedience to the scriptures. You know, as a steward, our goal is, and that's not a word we use a lot these days. We might think of it as a manager. The way the manager of the master's resources is effective is to know the heart of the master. Well, how do we do that as believers? Well, we go back to God's word. The good news is there's more than 2,300 verses related to money and possessions in God's word. But if we step back and look at kind of the big themes of scripture, I mean, it starts with this big idea that God owns it all. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And therefore, we're a steward or a manager, and money is a tool. It's created by God. It's to be a blessing. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And when we understand that and then really pull out God's heart as it relates to how we're to manage his money, we understand we're to live with contentment. God has said he'll provide for us, so we don't have to have fear and get caught up in the trap of asking the question, what if? And we can hold God's money loosely because he's our provider and we can trust him. So we can give generously, which is one of the ways as an act of worship we give back to the Lord that calibrates our hearts to him. It's an expression of thankfulness. It's a demonstration of our trust. And we can provide for our families within the confines of God's provision. What should that lifestyle look like for the Christian? I can't answer that. That's ultimately between you and the Lord as you go to him in prayer and ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? How am I to manage your money faithfully? And how much is enough, both for accumulation, that is, how much is enough for what we're setting aside for the future, and how much is enough for my lifestyle? How much should I be spending today? I think that's something we need to wrestle through with. And, you know, here's my experience is that your financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes your spiritual journey as you make those decisions with the Lord. Hey, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. Going back to your phone calls, 800-525-7000. Call right now. Stick around.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We have two lines open for your questions today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head back to the phones. We're going to New York. Hi, Chloe. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, I do have an issue. I am enrolled. I have a credit card enrolled with the PESCU Credit Union, and I have not had a problem with it. But lately, since late last year, it seems that I keep changing my card because there are certain things. Like last 2 weeks ago, I was just called for an unsolicited, like as if I bought something, and I don't even know about it. The bank called me. And now there are two other things. I have been changing the card, and also I tried to change my email. So I don't know how it happens, and also what is the best thing to do in this regard.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that question, Chloe. This is unfortunately becoming more and more challenging all the time, just as these fraudsters in the age of more electronic transactions are becoming more and more savvy with regard to how they can compromise your accounts. Let's work our way through this. I guess the first question is, have you actually seen fraudulent charges show up on the account, or have you just been hearing about them through a phone call?
No. The one time, the biggest one was $1,700. This was the one that I told you. The bank called me, and then they sent me a letter that says that we are investigating this. Okay. And then the statement came 2 days or 3 days ago, and I have two unrecognizable things on my statement. One was last month, $34.99, and then when I checked my online statement, the same thing is now telling me $81.99. So I'm planning to go to the bank. My plan is to just close this account and get another one from another bank. Is that something I could do, or is it that my credentials are floating all over already.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about that in the sense that, in theory, using a debit or credit card anywhere could result in fraudulent activity because all it takes is one, criminal employee to sell your card number on the dark web. This is happening more and more these days. So it could be one of a number of things. Number one, it could be just coincidence that this has happened a couple of times. In any case, I would close that account or at least have them reissue you a new card number so that card number is no longer in use and you have a new card number. I would immediately dispute those two transactions that you don't recognize. They're going to ask you probably for more information. You're going to want to make sure it's not something that you actually did charge and you just don't remember. It's coming up under another name that's not recognizable to you. But in all likelihood, it has been compromised, and that new card number should take care of it. Now, you are going to need to look and just make sure that the places you are using the card you know, that's not the problem, because often, you know, depending on where you're doing business, you just need to be careful that you're using reputable vendors, especially when you're online on the web. But I think the key is just monitor those credit card statements every month to make sure that everything is in fact accurate. To the extent the account's been compromised, you need to immediately report that to the card issuer. You need to dispute those charges. They'll replace the card number. Then you'll need to update any accounts for any recurring charges that you have. And then I would also pull a copy of your credit report, Chloe, from each of the three credit bureaus, just to make sure that all of the accounts that are listed there are actually your accounts that are in good standing, and nobody's actually compromised your identity and opened an account fraudulently in your name. And the best way to grab those three credit reports is from annualcreditreport.com. Now, going forward, I think the important thing for you to do is a couple of things. Number one is check those credit reports probably at least three times a year. Number two, every month you need to be scanning the credit card transactions to make sure there isn't anything that's suspicious or fraudulent. Don't ever share your credit card information or other personal information with anybody that contacts you by email or by phone. And also don't use public Wi-Fi like a coffee shop or a library to log into any of your accounts or to, you know, place transactions. Do that from the privacy of your home. But apart from that, I think just updating, you know, that closing that one card number down, issuing a new card number, whether or not you move banks or not, I don't think is the primary issue. And then just using these best practices that I've mentioned moving forward is probably the best way to go. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes. Thank you so very much. Although I observe all of those, it's possible that I did access my account in a public place, but I'm beginning to avoid that myself now.
Well, it's a learning process here, Chloe, and I think that's the key, is we just got to constantly be learning these best practices. Another thing you ought to do is regularly update your passwords and make sure that they're, you know, at least 12 to 15 characters long, so they're nice and secure. But, you know, unfortunately, we just have to stay vigilant with this so we don't get ourselves into a situation that could cause any kind of harm to us financially. But I think you're doing the right things. I'm glad you're staying on top of this. And if you have any other questions along the way, give me a call, okay?
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too, Chloe. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got one line open. Let's head to, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your phone calls today. We'll head to Texas and talk to Jose. We've also got Sarah calling from Alabama. Rachel from Texas wants to talk about what's going on in her life financially from a tax standpoint, and your calls as well. We're back right after this with more biblical wisdom for your financial decisions here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Looks like all the lines are full, so let's head right back to the phones. We're going to talk to Jose in Texas. Go ahead, Jose. How can I help?
Yeah, my question is, my dad got a letter from, I think it's Fidelity, to take out his money. If not, they were going to start charging him a monthly fee because he no longer works for that employer. He was laid off. He's 60 years old, but now he works for the city of Midland. Can he roll it over without being taxed, or what can he do? Because I don't know how to do anything except take it out, and he's, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to take a distribution because that would all be taxable. You want to roll that over either into a new 401k if he's continuing to work, or to an IRA, an individual retirement account. The key is you don't want the check to be cut to him. You want to do that direct rollover to the new account. So is he continuing to work?
Yes, he works for the city now.
Okay. So they and what kind of retirement? Does he have a 457 available at work, or what does he have?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I try to help him as much as I can because he really doesn't, you know anything about anything. He just been saving for a long time.
Sure. But, how much is in that 401k for this previous employer?
I think he has about $97,000.
Yeah, okay. So you've got two options. One is you can ask him to contact the plan administrator with his new employer, just to ask if he would be able to roll an old 401k in. The nice thing about that would be that it's just got everything in one place, so he doesn't have to kind of keep up with another account. If that's not an option, then you're going to want to help him open an individual retirement account, an IRA at another institution. You could use Fidelity or Schwab, one of the discount brokerages. Or if you'd wanted to hire an advisor to manage this money for you, I would interview and select that advisor first and then let the advisor open the IRA and do the rollover for you. The nice thing about that is that you and he would know that somebody that you all are communicating with regularly, but somebody is overseeing these accounts and making the buy and sell decisions. Do you think that's what you'd be looking for, or do you guys want to manage this yourself?
No, I'm not too bright with all that stuff. I've read a little and learned. I know a little bit, but not enough to make his money go, because he's trying to retire at least till he's 65 to have Medicare. And he's worked hard all his life, labor. So his body is just wore out. And he says, I'm going to try to stick it out until 65, but hopefully no longer than that.
How long is that? How far off?
5 years.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So what I would do, Jose, is perhaps you and he could reach out to a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in Texas. That's the the designation we trust here at Faith and Finance. It's the only accepted industry designation in the financial services industry for men and women who've met high standards and character and competence and experience, and they've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They've had pastor and client references. So they've gone through a lot of hurdles, but you could find a CKA there in Texas. I'd probably interview two or three and then select the one that's the best fit. And then that advisor, if you decided to move forward, would again open the IRA in your dad's name and then could handle the rollover from the 401k. They'd get the paperwork, ask your dad to get that, and then they'd move the account in. And then you'd have somebody that would be ready to make the buy and sell decisions on that for you. That would not be a taxable event as well. And then that person could help with some of the planning just around making sure he's ready for retirement when that time comes, have a plan for what his lifestyle is going to look like, his expenses, how his life savings plus Social Security, whether that's going to be enough to cover his bills in that season of life, and just kind of make sure that you all have the peace of mind to know, what you're working toward. So that would be my best recommendation, Jose. I'd head to faithfi.com. It's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA and then interview some folks in your area, okay?
How much would they charge him if he was to just take it out? Because he's old school. And honestly, his schooling has only been till sixth grade.
Okay.
So he doesn't know anything to do with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a distribution, because then that whole $100,000 is going to be added to his taxable income for the year, as if he made $100,000 in income. So he's going to have a huge tax bill, which will undoubtedly push at least a portion of that up into a higher tax bracket. And then, he'd have that huge tax liability. And if he's not yet 59 and a half, which it sounds like he might be real close, then he'd have a 10% penalty on top of it. So if you didn't want to hire an advisor, what I'd do is just roll it to an IRA. He could, or you could open an IRA on his behalf at Schwab or Fidelity and then roll it in. There's no cost for that. And then you all could buy some CDs or something like that, whatever you were comfortable with. But I wouldn't take a distribution if it were me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that'll work. I'll talk to him. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Jose. God bless you. Thanks for being such a great son to help your dad navigate all of this. We appreciate your call. We've got one line open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Sarah. How can I help you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to put this question as succinctly as possible. I have purchased a home in a vacation area because my daughter lives in the vacation area. And I thought it would be just simple to say, look, we'll, use it as rental property and rent it to her. I've already put it in an LLC, but then I realized I would not be charging her the same amount of rent that I would someone else. And as a Christian, you want to do things right, and do it the right way. But then I read, and it fits for me and my husband, is that we will be sharing it. Like, we'll be going there and using the property at times as well. So I read that there is something else called, investment or, there's two types, rental and investment property, correct?
Well, there's a rental classification, and then there's personal use.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So I will be using it. I think there's a law or there's something that says that you have to use it at least 10% of the time that you rent it. Is that correct? If you have it as a different sort of rental, do you know what I'm talking about?
That's correct.
That's what
right.
I read. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to need to be careful here, and I would get a CPA involved in this, because here's the thing. When you're renting to a family, you want to rent at fair market value. And if you don't, and you can in some cases, get away with that. But here's the reality is, number one, it could be considered a gift. But what's even more important than that is, if you're not careful, you can risk losing a portion of your rental expense deductions, because it could be classified as a personal use property if you're renting it below fair market value. And so you're going to want to get a CPA just to kind of weigh in on this, so that you understand, because you want this, you wanted the determination on this property is that it's a rental. Because if it's rented out, then you have the ability for, to deduct the expenses. And you're right. Neither the owner use of the property. It's got to be for 10% of the number of days the property was rented at fair market value during the tax year. And if it qualifies for a rental property, then that's where you can deduct certain expenses. So there's the amount of days that it's being used or rented at fair market value. And then there's, you know, what is considered fair market value and can you defend that before the IRS? So you're going to want to look at both sides of this, and it does complicate it a bit when you rent it to a family member, because I can totally understand you're wanting to try to help her and give her a discount on it. So here's what I'm going to recommend. I'd get a CPA involved in this, because everything you do, you want to be able to defend it before the IRS and not find out after the fact that you owe a bunch of taxes based on the way you've handled it. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air.
My name is Vladimir. I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox during a harsh winter in Ukraine, where I grew up. My favorite item was minty dental floss. I remember thinking, wow, I guess they have interesting candy in America. I want children to experience the same unconditional love I did at the age of 9. To learn more or to pack a shoebox gift online, please visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, now through Monday. You can also build a shoebox online. The best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's head back to the phones. To Illinois we go. Luana, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Hey there, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted us to remember that the RFD... purses and wallets,
yes,
can help with the scanning for the credit cards, because especially during this season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything, they're out there with those scanners getting our credit card numbers.
Yeah, that's a great reminder, Luana. So what she's talking about is the RFID wallets. So these tech-savvy thieves can use an RFID reader to scan the information from your credit card. It essentially uses radio waves to read the data. So the purpose of that type of wallet is to block these radio waves. It's made of a special material that can block or interrupt the radio waves. So if you're in a kind of a congested area, you know, this is where folks can get right up next to you and they can use these scanners to actually grab the information right off your card if you're not careful. So next time you get a wallet, or maybe you want to make a special point to go out and get an RFID wallet. Again, it's RFID. ID and just make sure that it is the type of wallet that blocks those waves. It's a great reminder, Luana. Thanks for helping to keep us safe here as we're out there, out and about, when especially as we're in heading into the holiday shopping season. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Texas we go. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I'm 70 years old, retired, and I retired when I was 63, and I stopped filing any income tax. Do I owe income tax on my Social Security and my VA disability?
You may, yes. And so it really just depends on, you know, how much you've made and whether or not you need to file on that. When did you say was the last time you paid?
Well, I haven't filed since I was 63.
Okay. All right. And have you made, you know, more than $25,000, let's say?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just live off my Social Security and disability.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's never a bad idea just to visit with a CPA and go over it. You know, you don't stop paying taxes on your Social Security, but it really comes down to your adjusted gross income. And so, you know, if that exceeds $25,000 for an individual or $32,000 for a married couple, a portion of your benefits is taxable. And so you have to get over that limit before it is going to be taxable to you. So you probably don't need to file, but you may want to if you think you might get a refund. If you've had anything withheld. But if you haven't, you're probably in good shape. But if you are just wondering, never a bad idea to check with a tax professional, James, just to be sure. But in all likelihood, you know, if you're under that threshold, either $25,000 or $32,000 for a married couple, you don't owe anything and therefore don't need to file. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, James. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To North Carolina we go. Hi, Ricky. How can I help?
Yes, I'm at the age of retirement, and I'm able to draw my Social Security 100%. I've talked to my CPA, and I'm not satisfied with the answer, so I'm not sure to go ahead and start drawing so I can utilize the money other places, or the best way to go about doing it.
So. Yeah, it's a great question. So you said 65 years old right now. Is that right? 65 and a half?
That is correct.
All right. Yeah, I mean, here's the reality, Ricky, is for every year you wait, you're going to get an additional 8% on that check. And so the question is, do you want to go ahead and take it now and start collecting? And then what would you do with it? If you don't need the money, we generally, for somebody who's healthy, we would say, you know, wait it out. Because the reality is, if you waited all the way until age 70, you would have to live at least 12 more years to be able to be repaid for everything you didn't start taking at full retirement age. But then you'd have a higher check to the tune of probably around 25% more per month for the rest of your life. So if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you know, you should be in pretty good shape at that point because you'd have a higher check. But yes, you are giving something up. And so it really comes down first to do you need the money now? And will it make a material impact on your lifestyle? If the answer is no, because your bills are covered from other sources, you really don't need it, then I kind of like the idea, again, if you're in good health, of you letting that check continue to build by 8% a year. So it, you know, it really comes down to how long you're going to live. None of us know that, right? So we have to just make the best decision we can. Would we rather get it now and enjoy it, or would we rather wait and collect more for the rest of your life, you know, down the road? And that's the ultimate determination. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's basically what he had said. So, and I have been in good health, but I did get COVID, and then I ended up taking the two shots, and I've been having issues that, you know, with eyes or, but either way, And I'm self-employed, so I don't have a whole lot banked. But, I got land and other things. So, definitely you could always use the money, and I would put it towards paying off property that I own or something in that nature. So that was, I guess that's, I know 8% is probably a good rate considering the way everything else is.
It is, and I think that's really the key. And if you don't have a whole lot saved up because you have been self-employed all these years, then that extra amount in that check could go a long way to helping you meet your obligations well into the future. And so I kind of like the idea, again, if you're continuing to work right now and you've got your bills covered, letting that check continue to grow, even though you're giving up the opportunity to start collecting earlier, you're going to build up that check so that it's a much higher check than it would have been for the rest of your life. And assuming, again, you get past that 12-year mark, now you're, quote, in the money, so to speak, and you enjoy, that higher check to the tune of about 24% for the rest of your life.
Right. Now, when you say get past the 12 year mark, that's so you're looking at 82 at that point, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah. And then after 82, you would have been repaid because your check has been higher for those 12 years. That higher amount has repaid you for what you didn't collect at full retirement age. And then from that point forward, you've been made whole. And now you just have that bigger check for the rest of your life.
Right. Well, yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It does help
Ricky.
A lot.
Good. I'm glad. Thanks for calling today. Let's head to Louisiana. Hi, Steve. How can I help?
Yeah, I got a question for you. I'm drawing Social Security. The first year I drew it, I was working, and they taxed me on the money that I worked over Social Security. Now, this year, I haven't worked at all, and when this year rolls around, all I have is my Social Security. Do I pay taxes on that?
Probably not. I mean, the way that it works is you take your adjusted gross income, you add your non-taxable interest, and then you add half of your Social Security benefits, and that's your combined income. And then if you're filing jointly, if your combined income is between, $32,000 and $44,000, then you'd pay income tax on up to 50% of your benefits. If you're more than $44,000, you'd pay up to 85% of your benefits may be taxable. But if you're below those thresholds with your combined income, then you don't owe taxes.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just heard you mention something to another guy that called about paying taxes on Social Security, but I guess he worked too. So, okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Steve. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it.
Hey, bless your ministry, brother.
Well, I appreciate
that. I've listened to you for years, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. That means a lot. God bless you. Let's finish up today in Missouri. Norma, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Yes. I have invested some money into an investment company, and probably over the last 3 years, I've lost about $3,000. And I was wondering if I would be better off to take that money and put it into CDs.
It's been a challenging market, Norma. It really comes down to your long-term goals and objectives. So is this money that really is for the long-term for you to live off of in retirement?
No, I'm 74, so I don't need the money to live off of.
Okay.
Just living off of my monthly income, which is sufficient enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. The challenge is that, with inflation where it is, you're losing purchasing power every day. And so the value of this money declines over time in terms of its purchasing power. And that's where stocks and bonds can really help us offset that by growing that money. And I realize it's been a challenging environment, but if we look over the long haul and we say, we don't need this money, we've got, time to let this grow, then I would say, you know, keeping it invested in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio makes sense, even though it's been under some pressure as of late and you've got some unrealized losses. But at the end of the day, if you just don't have peace of mind about that and you'd rather have something more secure, then CDs can absolutely be a great way to go. I hope that helps, Norma. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. For my team, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being along with us. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.